With a classified briefing coming up on Monday on Syria, which way are you leaning right now?
Well, at this point, and we're talking Thursday afternoon before Congress comes back into session, there have been a number of classified briefings for members all this week. I've not been able to go back to Washington for some of those. Some of my colleagues have been able to. Literally, they've been every day. So I won't be able to get a classified briefing until Monday, my first day back. And actually, at 5 o'clock, I'll be in that briefing. It's already on my schedule. But I, at this point, I have to say I remain to be convinced that this is the right approach. Of course, this issue has really bubbled up in the last week from when the president made his statement a week or so ago that he wanted congressional deliberation and approval. And I'll say this. I respect him for that. I do think that the Congress should have a say, particularly the way that this has gone forward in recent weeks and months. And I can remember well when I was first elected and President Bush 41, George Herbert Walker Bush, in Iraq, did not want to go to Congress. He really did not. No president has liked the War Powers Act, a law that was passed back in the 70s. He did not want to go to Congress. I was among a small group, I want to say 8 or 9 members back then, that went to the president, met with him in the White House, and told him very directly that not only do you need to get Congress's support, you need to get the American public's support before something like this can be embarked on. And you know, he did it the right way. He did exactly that. He built a coalition of support. He laid out precisely what the game plan was going to be, what was success and what was not, when things would stop. Actually took some criticism in later years for not going all the way to Baghdad, but that wasn't on the list. It was to get Saddam out of Kuwait. He built a coalition of close to 100 nations. It was largely paid for by the Saudis and the Kuwaitis, had the UN resolution. And it passed overwhelmingly with bipartisan support, and it was done like that. Now we have a whole different situation here. The president should, I think, go to Congress, particularly with what he's contemplating on. Earlier this week, the Senate passed a resolution in the Foreign Affairs Committee 10-7. They are likely to vote next Wednesday. From what I understand, I think it's likely to pass. We'll see what the margin is. Not important now, but I think that it will pass in the Senate on Wednesday next week. And at this point, we're scheduled to take it up probably on Thursday, though it might slip a week. I know that former Speaker Pelosi is urging that it be postponed another week. We'll see where things are. But I think it'll be a very tough sell in the House, whereas I predict I don't want to say easy passage. Nothing is easy in the Senate. The House is a whole different story. And even though our leadership, Boehner and Cantor, have come out in support of what the president wants to do, obviously former Speaker Pelosi and others on the same page, our leadership has made it very well known that this really is a vote of conscience. They are not going to be strong-arming or whipping House Republicans. We have a small majority in the House. This is something that each of us are going to have to grapple with. And though certainly I'm leaning no on this, so, you know, the president needs to convince me he's not done that yet. We've sent all those signals, and that's really where I am. I do think that I owe it to certainly my constituents, but also to the nation, to get as many facts as I can. And not being able to sit through a classified briefing to ask some of the questions that, you know, we haven't seen come out in the press and try to get some answers. I think I owe it to that before I make a decision on what I'm going to do. I'm looking forward to that briefing on Monday next week. And, you know, at this point, certainly all this week, we've been hearing from constituents all over. We're going to do another teletown meeting tonight. Rather than wait for that question to come up, I'm going to pose that. That's a little bit unusual in terms of how I conduct my teletown meetings, but we'll be calling, I don't know, 30, 40,000 households, and I'm going to put the question to those on the phone and ask them what they think, because there's no place that I've gone. This isn't the first question. I spoke to the home builders this morning. They didn't want to hear about housing prices or mortgage interest, you know, deduction. They wanted to know about Syria, you know, the coffee shop in Plainwell, the different gatherings that I've done all this week. Volume of phone calls that we've had, I mean, it is on everybody's mind. I called my dad this morning and talked to him in a few days. That's the first thing he asked me. He's 89 years old. So there is no question that this is on the mind of everybody. The nation is captured by this. They're watching the debate. You know, it's one of the reasons why even the international debate over in the House of Commons was carried live on TV last week. And, of course, they rejected that. And Prime Minister Cameron said that he was not going to fulfill participation in an effort. So
let me ask you, though, the statement that you issued on this, there's no question that there's no question the Assad regime must be held accountable by the international community for its heinous attacks on innocent civilians, but whether U.S. military action is warranted is a much different question. If not military action, how do you hold a regime accountable for what they've done?
It's a lot of things that you can do. You can try and help the appropriate rebels. And you'll remember that was one of the things that the administration said that they would do last spring. Well, where's the evidence of what they did? Don't know. Haven't seen any real results of it. The UN Secretary General earlier this week came out against U.S. military strikes because there is an absence of a UN resolution in support, unlike what happened with President Bush back in the 90s. We've seen a number of major players that have often been part of our coalition, the UK being one. But Germany, Merkel has indicated that she's not going to be on board. The Poles, and again, they've been with us in virtually everything that we've done. They've indicated that they're not part of the equation. The French are. But we've, you know, it's a lot of things that can be done, but there's a question of, if this resolution passed, what does it lead to? What participation then does it bring from the other side, whether it be the Iranians, whether it be the Russians? Who knows where this thing goes? And I don't think anybody's got the answers, but that's why we're going to be deliberating this in a very careful way, and we'll see where things play, particularly next week as it really comes to the House, knowing that the Senate is likely to pass it on Wednesday.
Is the fact that this seems to be contained within the borders of Syria a factor? Or in this day and age, is the fact that chemical weapons are used, does the borders and those sort of things kind of become irrelevant?
Well, chemical weapons, I mean, remember, Syria is not a signatory to the international pact. It's, you know, if the line was drawn in the sand, the red line, last spring, chemical weapons, this was what the president said in essence, cross that red line, we're in. It's pretty well known, understood that what happened, you know, with the 1,300 folks that were killed was not the first time that chemical weapons were used. They were used, I want to say, probably in May and April. There seemed to be pretty good evidence that that was the case. And yet that red line, though it was crossed, no action was taken. It is a civil war. We know that more than 100,000 individuals have been killed, slaughtered. I've heard about a terrible viral posting out there of the real slaughter. I mean, this is not a good regime, to say the least. And I would say that, you know, particularly the hundreds of people that I've spoken to just this week, for the most part, and when I say most part, I'm talking 90%+, really have thought this is a civil war and probably not something that the U.S. should escalate its work on. I would also note, particularly for your listeners today, to go back and look at Wednesday's New York Times, yesterday as we tape this, and look at the column that was written by Tom Friedman, a real expert certainly on the Middle East for the last number of decades. He came out against the president's initiative, thinking that it would be a solitary force, that we would get criticized by many of the leaders around the world, and there's better options than what the president's pursuing. And I think that's, frankly, where most, at least thus far, of our calls. And we've gotten, as I talk to Lynn Turner, who runs my Kalamazoo office here, or Clay in St. Joe, my Washington office as well, this is on everybody's mind. We have gotten well over 1,000 calls, I'd say, and that's early on this week. And most of them, by a wide majority, are against the proposal that passed the Senate just yesterday in committee.